Today, we have the pleasure of introducing Sister Julia. You all know her. She will be sharing the word with us today. So I will go ahead and turn it over to her. Good morning, Sister Julia. You got the floor.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma. Good morning, brethren in the room. Happy birthday, Eve, sir. Excited about this week. We have a lot going on. We're thankful for life. Thankful for what God has done in your life. I'm counting the days with you, sir. The minutes. Praise the Lord. Good morning, my brethren in the room. God bless you. Let us pray. I want to start with the prayer that the Lord himself will minister to us. Let us pray. Precious Lord, we thank you for this morning, this beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up to life. Thank you because it is well with us. Thank you, Lord, for life, the breath in our nostrils, and all the good things that you have freely given us to enjoy. Lord, we give you praise. We give you worship. We thank you. Thank you for those that have come this morning to fellowship. Thank you for those that will still yet come. Father, we just pray that we'll all be blessed together. Thank you for this word. Lord, I pray that you speak to your people. And Lord, that we will learn at your feet today and we will never be the same. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Take all the honor, all the glory, all the majesty in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have prayed. Amen. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us worship the Lord, our God, our maker. He is our God and we are the sheep of his pasture. The title of the word we'll be sharing today says, let us worship. And the Lord took me on a little journey as regards to worship. And that is what I am led to share with us this morning. The first question for us today, when we hear the word worship, what comes to mind? When we say, let us worship, what are we thinking? What does worship mean to you? I would like us to type in the chat room real quickly. What does worship mean to you? What do you think when we say worship? If you don't mind to let us have a little exchange this morning. What does worship mean? What do you think of when we say worship? I will type mine. Okay. What comes to mind when we talk about worshiping? Worshiping God, worshiping. What does worship mean to you? Welcome everybody to the room. I see people coming in. Welcome. Welcome. We're talking about worship this morning. What does worship mean to you? Mommy Abu says, bless the Lord. Sister Lala says, exalting the Lord. Sister Pearl says, reverencing God. Okay. Pastor says, worship a way of life for the believer. Yes, thank you. Beautiful response. I took time to look into the dictionary because I wanted to get a deeper understanding. And the dictionary says, to honor or to show reverence for as a divine being or supernatural power. Some say to regard with great and extravagant respect, to honor and devotion. Then I started to dig deeper. When we say, let us worship, or when we say worship, we go to the house of worship, or when you're in church, they say, okay, let's go to worship time. What are we talking about? My best understanding of worship or definition of worship is respectful devotion. Lovingly honoring and obeying somebody who deserves our highest regard. I like Pastor's definition. He went there where I was going. He says worship is actually a way of life for the believer, which is true. I looked into the scriptures and where did we first hear about worship? in the Bible. What is the law of first mention? Pastor always says. And when we look into the scriptures, I'm going to start from Genesis chapter 18, verse 2. That was when the first act of worship that I could find was mentioned. Genesis 18, 2 says, this was talking about Abraham. And if the scripture says, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground. This scripture never said the word worship, but this was an act of worship. Abraham bowed himself to the ground. Whoever he encountered there, he knew this is deity, this is God, and he bowed down. It says in that scripture further, he entertained God. He bowed down. The real first mention of the word worship is in Genesis 22. And I'm going to dwell a little bit there, so let me find that scripture. Genesis 22, we're going to read from verses 1 to 5. Okay. Please bear with me. This old Bible here. Genesis 22 says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Verse 3 says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide you here with the sack, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. This is the first mention and the use of the word worship in the scriptures that I could find. Now, when we look at this scripture, first of all, this son, if we look in Genesis 15, verses 2 to 5, this was when God promised this son to Abraham, promised that he was going to give him seeds like the stars in heaven. And then God finally gave Isaac to Abraham. And then God came not long after that and is asking for this son to be sacrificed. What do you think was going through Abraham's heart all through the night? This son, God, are we sure about this? But we read in that scripture that he rose up early. He did not delay. Rose up early in the morning to go do what God says to do. This one son, God was demanding from Abraham. The scriptures record further later on that he trusted God. He believed God that he was able to raise Isaac. He did not wait till afternoon. He did not wait till nighttime. Rose up early in the morning to do what God had said to do. And the scripture records that they went yonder and he said, and worshiped. I looked there and I said, there is no music there. Fast or slow. No smoke, no LED light, no stage, no guitar, no drums, nothing. So how did Abraham worship God here? What is the act of worship here? He worshiped God through obedience. That is what I could pick up there. He surrendered to God. That act of worship there is, even though I don't understand this God, even though I don't know what you're doing, it doesn't make sense. But God, if you say so, so be it. And this is worship. This is the act of worship. When we talk about worship in these days, in modern days, we go to church sometimes and they say, oh, let us worship. And we start singing. And sometimes we're just singing. We're singing words. Sometimes we mean them. Sometimes we don't mean them. I look around sometimes when I'm in church. And we're singing, but somebody's doing something else. This one is texting. This one's going back and forth. And then we play slow music. And we say, oh, we're in worship. Are we really? From what I see in this scripture, that act of worship was an act of surrender and obedience to the will and the word of God here. He could not even sleep. He could not hesitate. He did not hesitate. God, whatever you say, I will do. That is what I see in this scripture. I said the first punchline for me here. I said, worship does not have much to do with music, as we can see in this scripture, if anything at all. It was a pure act of surrender and obedience. If we look further into the scriptures here, I wrote down here, Genesis 15. In Genesis 15, God promised Abraham, and I'm going to go there real quickly, because in the beginning, God said to Abraham, get up and go to a far country that I will show you. And God promised him that he was going to bless him. And Abraham said, you know, how is this thing going to be, seeing that I go childless? Let me quickly find that scripture. Genesis 15, verses 2 to 5. And these things, the word of the Lord, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? And I know we've dealt in this scripture many times. God was telling Abraham one thing, but he was saying something else. I go childless, and the steward of my house, even this Eliezer of Damascus, will be my heir. But here, God promised Abraham seeds like the stars of the stars in the sky. And after he gave him this one child, God is demanding the child. I want us to put ourselves in Abraham's shoes for a minute. I know what I would have done if this was me. I would argue with God all night, something probably. Are you sure about this? Do you really want my, which son are we talking about? Are we talking about Ishmael, my mistake? And God will say, no, the one and only child that you have. And this to me was mind blowing when I saw this. Worship had nothing here to do with music. It had to do with the heart of obedience. Worship is loose hands if we do not intentionally allow God to run our life. We need to intentionally allow God to run our lives. We need to let go and let him. We as children of God need to have loose hands. Yes, we want this and we want that. We want God to do this. We want him to do that. But we have to be able to freely surrender our will to his will. Let's quickly look at Luke 22. This took me to Jesus Christ himself. When it was time for him to give his life for us all. Hard as this task was, Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Just sharing a few things here and there, just to encourage us in the direction that God is wanting us to go as far as the state of our heart. Luke chapter 22, 42. Bear with me. I have an old Bible here. Flipping the pages. 22:42. Okay. And it says there, even our Lord himself, Jesus as a man, did not want to die. But he knew he had this lofty task to perform. And when it got to that point, he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This is the state of worship, surrender. He didn't want to die as a man. This looked so hard, but he knew he had to. Loose hands, God is asking from us. We have to not have anything we're holding on so tight. There are times when I go to some places of worship or I watch some videos online and I see the man of God on the stage and they play slow music and then they play fast music, 10 minutes, and that's the time of worship. Why did we turn worship into singing? I don't know the history. But singing really doesn't demand much from us. We could be in an assembly and open our mouth and close it and just sing. We may have a good voice, melody coming out, but are we really truly worshiping? The act of worship demands something from us. It demands surrender and it demands loose hands. Sometimes God does not only want our mistakes. He did not even want Abraham's mistake, which was Ishmael, but he wanted his miracle. This miracle child that I gave you, God demanded. Abraham could have argued. He could have pretended like he didn't hear God. Like sometimes we do when the Holy Spirit is speaking, he could have been like, oh, I did not hear that one. But in this difficult demand, Abraham chose to obey God. Genesis 26, 4 to 5. I wrote that down. Let me see what we will learn from that one. Genesis 26, 4 to 5. I think that was where God promised him that he was going to give him children. Let me go there real quick. Genesis 26. 4 to 5. Bear with me, please. This old Bible here. Okay. Genesis 26, verse 4 says, And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandment, my statutes, and my laws. This was Isaac benefiting from the act of obedience of his father. I wrote here, when we obey God and we surrender to him, many blessings follow. Abraham's blessings are still ours today. Truly, God kept his word to Abraham. He has seeds as the stars of heaven like God promised. We are those seeds and many, 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 many others. So when God says a thing, he keeps his part of the deal. We just need to keep ours. Abraham was willing to give the one seed. and he gained many seeds all over the world, including you and I. True worship, obedience, does have reward. Romans 4:3 records that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. In Hebrews 11, 17 to 19, it talks also about how Abraham trusted God. He trusted God knowing that even if his son Isaac was killed, God was able to raise him. Do we have such trust in God that we can give that treasure? I don't know what that treasure is for you, but do we trust him to that point where we could worship him in obedience and give that treasure? I put myself in Abraham's shoes. If God demands my child, would I be willing to give it so freely? Would I wake up early to even give it? Or would I argue all day, kicking and fighting? Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son. Of course, it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So Abraham trusted God, knowing and believing that God can and could raise Isaac from the dead. Complete trust in God is what I see here, and that is what God is asking from us at this time. The third point on worship that I have here says worship is giving to God the things that we love. Abraham loved Isaac. That was his only true son. But then he was willing to give that son to God. Sometimes God is asking that one thing, and we hear him. Give that money to that person, or wake up early and pray. I don't know what it is for you. True worship is giving that thing that you love, the time that you love, the food that you love sometimes. I don't know what it is for you, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart as we learn about this worship. When we come into Christ, we are no longer our own. We are no longer the most important person. Christ is. We have to be ready to let him have it all. As children of God, we have to be ready to let him have it all. And that is truly our act of worship. True worship is true surrender. Like Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Job was in that place. Even though he couldn't understand it, everything looked crazy at the time. What is going on, God? But Job was able to say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. So God is asking access to everything. All of us, not some, but all of us. Our time, our money, our friends, our job. He wants to be God of all. I wrote here, worship is obedience, surrender, and submission to the will of God. Like Abraham, we have our desires and our wishes. Abraham wished that Isaac would live, that Isaac would become his heir. But when God demanded for Isaac, Abraham loved God enough to give up Isaac, believing that God was able to raise him from the dead or give him another son. Worship should be our lifestyle. And that was what Pastor gave as his own definition, the lifestyle of a Christian. That means as children of God, we should daily be willing to let our will be his will. Romans 12 talks about our life. Let's go to Romans 12. We'll read verses 1 to 2. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What this scripture is saying here is, us as his children should be willing to lay our lives on that altar. And that is our worship, our reasonable service. And it says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Perfect will of God is that we say yes to him. God, the answer is yes, even before you ask. That is true worship. That our lives will be totally surrendered unto him. Whatever he wants, we do. Whatever he says, we do. Whatever he asks, we do. That is true worship. The life that God is asking of us as his children at this time. Psalm 95. Let's go to Psalm 95 really quickly. I don't have much to say. Just a little here and a little there while we look at the meaning of true worship this morning. Psalm 95, bear with me. I'm going there real quickly. In Psalm 95, we're going to look at verse 6. I don't want to read all of it. Psalm 95, verse 6. It says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. The kneeling there is the act of surrender in reverence, in praise and supplication. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, my brothers and sisters, today, Buki, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as at Meribah and at Massah in the day of temptation in the wilderness. The word of the Lord says today, as we hear his voice and moving forward, when God speaks and says, I want this, it could be our time. It could be our money. It could be anything. Let us worship him in total surrender. I want us to take particular note of verse 11. He said there, I'm going to finish that scripture because there was a point there. It says, harden not your heart as at Meribah and as at Massah in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tried my patience and tested me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved and disgusted with that generation. And I said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, and they do not acknowledge or regard my ways. I'm reading from the Amplified because I wanted more light into that. 40 years they grieved the Lord. And he said, verse 11, wherefore I swore in my wrath that they would not enter my rest. I want us to pause and look at that. Because of disobedience, God said, these people will not enter my rest. So what brings us rest? Obedience and surrender. Yes, obedience. Yes, worship. Yes, surrender. And yes, rest. When we do his will, when we obey, when we surrender, when we have loose hands, worship is given everything to God, including the things we love. When we have loose hands and say, God, whatever you say, before you even ask. Here it is. We will truly have rest when we have nothing we're grasping onto and cannot let go of. That is what the secret of true rest. We've been talking this month of July about entering into his rest. And the other day, our sister Lola threw more light into how we can enter into that rest by faith. And what is faith? Concentrated trust in God. God, I don't understand it. I don't see it. I don't even know, but you say I do. And that will bring us the rest that God has promised us. When we worship God and we have nothing that is off limits, when we have open hands, loose hands, when we let him be in charge, when we kneel and we tell him to have it all, then we will have true rest. When we give it all up to him, I don't know what that is today. I don't know what your Isaac is today. Is it your degree, your life pursuits, your talents, your children, your friends, your bank account? I don't know what God is asking for. But he is asking us today as his children to surrender all. John 4:24, as I begin to round up this morning. John 4:24. John 4:24. That is a popular scripture. I believe we all know it, but I'm going to read it for emphasis this morning. We're talking about true worship, the life of a believer. John 4:24. Bear with me as I look for it. It says here, it was talking to this group of people, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. This was the discussion between the Lord Jesus and the woman. And but in verse 23, I believe, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, says the scripture, and we, his children, must worship him in spirit and in truth. True worship is total surrender. Loose hands asking him to have his way in our lives. True worship is saying, God, the answer is yes, even before you ask. We wake up in the morning and we have our own agenda. We have to have at the side of our minds my agenda, but whenever God says, do this, against that agenda, we have to be willing to allow God to interrupt our day, like Pastor always says. Interrupt my day, O God. Have your way. And that is our true worship. Doesn't have much to do with singing. Yes, sometimes when we sing and open our mouths and express our love to him and express our hearts to him, he begins to tell us those areas that he demands, those areas that he wants us to change, those things that he wants us to remove. True worship is saying, God, the answer is yes. So as we listen to his voice today, harden not your heart, my brother, harden not your heart, my sister. I speak to you as I speak to myself this morning. The Lord is saying, what is your Isaac today? What is your Isaac? What is that thing that I've been asking that you've been holding back on? Your bank account? Your children? Your job, your time. The Lord is asking us to lay all down, lay it all at the altar and let him have his way. And that is our true worship. As I round up, I want us to think about these things. The Lord says those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If we do truly surrender and obey, then we can truly enter into this rest that he has promised us. May the Lord God Almighty help us, like Abraham, to totally surrender, like he himself did, that we say, not my will, but your will be done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. In conclusion, I will pray, and I have another song to play for us, just to conclude this teaching this morning. Let us pray. Precious Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together to talk about what true worship is. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you illuminate these words in the hearts of your people this morning. As we go about our day, as we go along the way, that you, by your Spirit, will expand these words in the hearts of your children and give us a heart of true worship, that our heart will say yes, that our soul will say yes, that our mind will say yes to you in true and total surrender, that we will hold nothing back, but like Abraham, that we will give it all, even the things we love, even the things that look so precious to us. Lord, our time, our money, our children, everything in total surrender unto you. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.